Hi guys, so you're here with Mel and we're back at Oh Mel. And wow, it's now September 2023 and the last time I did a episode was March. If you've following me, if you've subscribed, you'll have a look. There's a big gap between the dates. The whole plan was to do 30 episodes and go live. However, I've had a break to do other things and I'm back with inspiration and to continue sharing my story and my experiences. And I'm going to go straight in because I was talking about my childhood. I was sharing some different experiences. And then since I last did an episode, I have been out preaching, teaching, mentoring, recovering from COVID, long COVID, COVID 2023. And so many things have gone on, but I don't want to get lost in what I was sharing. In talking about my childhood and what it was like, I recall my childhood being very, very dark, very sad and very grey, unfortunately. There are moments of happiness, moments of light. However, the majority of it, I was suffering a lot of emotional abuse. I went through a lot of abuse, but the emotional abuse was consistent all day, every day, for till I was 22, 21, from my family, from my mum and my stepdad. There's different types of emotional abuse, and let me just touch on it, and then I'll relate it to my story, my walk, my experiences. The different types of emotional abuse are humiliating or constantly criticizing a child, and constantly means every day, majority of the day. Threatening, shouting at a child or calling them names, making a child a subject of jokes or using sarcasm to hurt a child, making a child perform degrading acts. Blaming and scapegoating, not recognizing a child's own individuality or trying to control their lives, pushing a child too hard or not recognizing their limitations and exposing a child to upsetting events or situations like domestic abuse, drug taking, failing to promote a child's social development, not allowing them to have friends, persistently ignoring a child, being absent, manipulating a child, never saying anything kind, expressing positive feelings or congratulating a child on success, and never showing any emotion in interactions with a child, also known as emotional neglect. That's a lot of different types of emotional abuse, and it's sad to say, I can't think of any of those that I've not been through as a child. And yeah, it's sad, but guys, if you're listening to me, I'm Mel. It's 2023 and I've made it this far as an adult, so no matter what I went through, I gained the skill of resilience. I was able to bounce back and keep on going, and that is grounded and rooted from my faith, whatever was built within me. Spiritually, I had something that was fighting for me that was greater than that little child, and I'm here today to tell the story, to tell the tale, to tell the testimony, to encourage and to let someone know what can actually be going on in the world, but also to let someone know on the bright side that you can actually make it into an adult and into society. Okay, so humiliating and constantly criticizing a child. This is something that that's had a massive effect on me, even as a grown adult. The criticism I received as a child now plays a role in my adult life, which is a sad to say, and I'm sure some of you might relate to who's listening. I can be the best chef that I know, and I am. Yep, I am indeed. And I can be in the kitchen cooking a dish that I've been in the kitchen assisting and cooking since I was a child. And as a grown adult, I would be thinking it's not good enough. I'm not good enough. It's not going to come out okay. I might be having anxiety. My heart might be racing. I might have knots in my stomach, feeling upset, thinking, oh my God, it's going to be worse. It's not going to be good. No one's going to like it. And I know for a fact that I don't know anyone else that can cook that dish better than myself. However, the fact that I was criticized and put down and told so many negative things as a child growing up over a long period of time has now formulated a stronghold over my mind. A stronghold is like a fortress, something that's got like a wall of defense against the enemy or against something. So when you've got a stronghold, it can be a thinking pattern that you formulated over a long period of time that's been influenced by parents, by your upbringing, and it becomes your thinking pattern. So I've got strongholds that need to be torn down, and those strongholds might say, Melinda, you're not good enough. Melinda, this is not good enough. It's not going to taste good, because that's what I heard growing up. And I didn't just hear it growing up. I heard it for about 20 something years. And then even as an adult, my family and the people that meant something to me didn't have anything encouraging to say to me. So even now, 40 years later, I'm struggling because of the strongholds that was formulated in me as a child. And if there's any parents listening to this, anyone who's got an influence over a child or a young person or young people or yourself in general, be careful about the words that you say and the effects that it could be having. Be careful of those words that carry power and, you know, just the effects it's going to have now and later on in life. Hold on, guys. I'm just having a cup of tea. I'm having Earl Grey all the way. Absolutely lovely. So yes, I am having tea while I'm doing these now, because I've decided to make them a bit longer as requested by the few people that were listening and giving me feedback. I was trying to make my podcast shorter, but because of the feedback, people say, Mel, you get into a story and then I'd want to hear more, and then I stop because I've been considerate, because I know my YouTube videos can go on a bit too long. However, I've decided just to make these a little bit longer, make myself a cup of tea, sit down and have a little chin wag to you guys that are listening. Anyway, going back to humiliating, that's when you make a person feel, you know, you put them on the spot, or you make them feel they're not good enough, or if they've done something, you laugh at them or you criticize what they've done so they don't feel it's ever good enough. They feel embarrassed. Some people can actually wet the bed over this, have nightmares. And I just remember being criticized as a child, being told I wasn't good enough. I was good for nothing. That was one of the sentences that was often said to me. You're good for nothing. You are good for nothing. You're good for nothing. You're good for nothing. Not in that accent and not in that calmness. It was said in a harsh Caribbean tone. You're good for nothing. And if you've got that being said and spoken to you, going into your being, into your emotions, into your mental health, into your ears, into you in such a harsh way and in that such a tone, it really causes a damage and scars that people can't see, the scars, but they can probably notice it by your actions. So I would go to school, and when my teachers would want me to read or something, I would start having a panic attack. I'd be like, oh, I can't read this. I need to go to the toilet. Or, miss, I feel sick. Miss, I'm not well. Instantly, I would feel unwell, and instantly I would try and hide under that feeling unwell, because I just didn't think I was good enough because of what I was being told at home, that I'm good for nothing. So when the teacher saw that I was good for something, no, I was running a mile. And this went on into adulthood. Even when I went to church and I became a Christian and saved and a new creature, I remember them calling me to read the scriptures or to give an exhortation or something. I was like, the same effect. I ran to the toilet. I came late for church. I missed it on purpose, because I thought I wasn't good enough. There was something underlining that wasn't being seen. And I can say this now because it's taken years, a good 14 years of reflection and doing work on myself to realize, hang on here, these are issues from your childhood that are affecting you as an adult, and it affects your day-to-day living. And it becomes a disability. Can you believe emotional abuse can cause a disability? It can disable you, not enable you to get on with your day-to-day life, with your day-to-day activities, with your day-to-day thinking, without it blocking you, becoming a barrier and having a negative effect. So I'm letting you know now, emotional abuse can become a disability. If it's not sorted, if it's not dealt with, if it's not looked at the root, you can go on as an adult into your 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. I've prayed with people in their 80s who are struggling with insecurities from childhood, from emotional abuse. Did those parents think they were being emotionally abusive? No. There was a transgenerational programming taking place, intergenerational trauma from our parents, from our grandparents, from our ancestors, from one lineage to the next lineage. Anyway, listen to this. Let me give you an example. I got beaten. So this is emotional abuse, but I also got the physical abuse. I got beaten with a belt. I got beaten with a belt buckle. I got beaten with a rolling pin. I got beaten with a chair back. I got beaten with a fist. I got beaten with the bottom of a shoe. I got beaten with the table leg. I got beaten with a wooden spoon. Even if it would break, I'd get beaten with a tray, with a plate. I got beaten. Yeah? Pause. When I say transgenerational or intergenerational trauma, it means trauma that has been passed down from one generation to the next. In doing my little baby research into slavery, I can see that the slave owners, the slave masters and the slaves had a way of functioning. The slaves would get beaten. Whether these slave owners were black on black or white on black or vice versa, either how, slaves got beaten. And then those slaves had children that beat them. Okay. And then those slaves might have got taken, I'm just saying, because I've looked up my history, out of Nigeria, Ghana, Sierra Leone, Congo. They got taken out of these different countries and on boats, and they got taken to a faraway land that might have been taken from India, into a faraway land called Trinidad, on boats, in as slaves, and then they started a culture there. And not only that, what was being done to them, they did to their children. And there comes my great-grandma, my great-granddad, and there comes my grandma, my granddad, and it's just passed down the line. Then there comes me and my mom. So she beats me like her parents beat her, like her grandparents beat her, like the slave owners beat them. And it's just continuous. And then there comes me, and then I have my children, and I'm like, oh, you know what? I'll beat them too. So then we're just carrying on this transgenerational trauma, intergenerational trauma. Yeah. And then with that comes the emotional abuse. So it's a consistent cycle that passes on from hundreds of years that we're not aware of. But because I've looked at the root and I'm getting to the bottom of the nitty gritty things of what makes me up as a person, I can identify this. Yeah. And this all came from me looking at slavery in the Bible. And I was like, hang on here, is this in my DNA? Is this in my generation? And is this going on now? Has it been passed down? And actually it has, because my DNA came back Nigerian, Ghanaian, Congo, Bantu, Indian. And all my ancestors were taken from different places and placed on an island called Trinidad and Tobago. And the same culture passed down and passed down and passed down. Yeah, we've got some good, and I'll touch on the good as I go on my podcast. However, we're looking at the emotional abuse, physical abuse, and just abuse. Yeah, so the humiliating, constantly criticizing, the threatening, shouting, all of this has been passed down, and now a parent may not even be aware. That's the sad part. A parent may not even be aware that they are emotionally abusing a child. And people, as sad as it is, my hands have to go up. I have fallen short to this. I have fallen into this myself. I have done this. With trying, without trying. Willingly and unwillingly, knowingly and unknowingly, I have done this to my children. It was done to me, and automatically I have become the one that criticizes. It's easier to criticize rather than to compliment. What? What are you saying? It's easier for me to criticize than to compliment. Can you believe that? Because I wasn't hearing compliments, I found it easy to do what was done to me. And it's my children that told me this. It was my son's like, Mom, why do you find it so easy to criticize and you can't compliment? I was like, oh, what? Yes, people, I'm being real here, and you need to be real, and you need to take a stop, have a think, and you need to admit your faults here. Because this is an issue, whether we know it's emotional abuse or not, in the law, it's classed as abuse, and we've all done it. And it's all been done to us. Yeah, the threatening, shouting, I'm Caribbean, I'm black, this is how I do. I shout at my children like this, and I want to speak at them and tell them not to do this and not to do that. Yeah, just because I'm from the Caribbean and I'm black, hello, I'm doing a podcast with you and I'm shouting. Am I speaking with that harsh Caribbean Trinidadian accent? No, I'm not. So why couldn't I speak to my children like that? Why? Because the emotional abuse and the harsh language and the harsh speech that I get spoken to, I now pass it on. Yeah, without even trying, just doing it. Making a child subject to jokes, we do this. And it's been done to us. Sarcasm that hurts a child's feeling, and when they walk off and they're stumped, you say, oh, you're having a tantrum. No, of course it's emotional abuse, the same thing that was done for us and to us. Anyway, so that's me touching on emotional abuse. I'm going to go into some actual examples. This is just me getting back on my podcast, getting back into the series and going a bit deeper and straight to the teaching based on my story, based on the truth, and putting my hands up and saying, yes, people, I've been through this, and I just want you guys to take this away from today and have a think. And if it's been done to you and your adult or your caregiver is still alive and you want to have that conversation with them, have that conversation, because you may be breaking a generational curse and a generational cycle and generational patterns that are unhealthy if you have that conversation. And then not only do that, go and apologize. If you've got children, go and apologize. If you've done it to someone, or if you're still doing it now, if you're even doing it to yourself, because we start to criticize ourselves. Yeah. So I will come back and I will be talking about personal examples and situations and scenarios about this. I'm just going to leave it here for now because I think I've come back heavy and I've come back hard. And yeah, I just want to give you an example of where we're going to be going and how I'm going to be doing these episodes. But thank you for joining me. Thank you for being with me. And thank you for joining Omel. And yeah, if you've got a comment or if you want to drop me a message, feel free to. And if there's questions that you want to ask following any of these podcasts, feel free, because I bounce off your questions. I bounce off your feedback. But yeah, thank you very much. And God bless you. Stay safe until I see you again. Take care. God bless you. Bye-bye.